Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to Vardhman Special Steels Limited Q1 FY25 earnings conference call. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing the star, then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Ms. Deepika Mundra. Thank you, and over to you, ma'am.
Thank you. Good afternoon, everyone. On behalf of Choice Equity Broking, welcome to the Q1 FY25 post-earnings conference call of Vardhman Special Steels Limited. I also take this opportunity to welcome the senior management team. On today's call, we have with us Mr. R.K. Raveri, Executive Director, Mr. Sanjeev Singla, CFO, and Ms. Soumya Jain, Executive Director. This conference call may contain certain forward-looking statements based on the belief, opinion, and expectations as on the date of this call. These statements are not guarantees of future performance and involve certain risks and uncertainties that are difficult to predict. I now invite Mr. R.K. Raveri for the opening remarks to be followed by a question-and-answer session. Over to you, sir.
Thank you. Good afternoon, everyone, and thank you for joining us on our earnings calls for the first quarter ended 30th June 2024. On the call with me is Ms. Soumya Jain, who is our Executive Director, Mr. Sanjeev Singla, our CFO, Ms. Sonam Dhingra, who is our Company Secretary and Compliance Officer, and Adfactors PR, our Investor Relations team. I once again welcome all of you.
तुम्ही ज्या व्यक्तीशी बोलत आहात, त्याने तुमच्या कॉलला.
Oh, yes, sir. Please go on.
Should we continue? Okay. As you are aware that we had our board meeting, which concluded yesterday, we are pleased to inform you that overall numbers are looking good. So in quarter one, FY25, the volume sold stands at 50,000 plus, that is 50,298 metric tons. Quarter one revenue is 415.78 crores, which is a nominal increase YOY at 1.32%. EBITDA is a good number. It is 48 crores, and it is increased by 31.71%. And PAT is accordingly, PAT is also higher at 26.28 crores. Both these are double-digit increase during vis-à-vis our corresponding quarter. So first of all, let me start sharing that overall our operations were stable. As I said, sales volume has crossed 50,000 tons this quarter, and we are in the vicinity of achieving our annual, not in the vicinity, it is likelihood that we will achieve our annual target of 210,000 tons of steel. So I have said revenue has also increased. On the marketing front, the quarter was, I must say, calm. It was a little, I would say, subdued because some of the shutdowns were there, or after shutdowns, the OEM started picking up the production. And some of the sales, which we will book in this quarter also because of the not booked in the quarter one. On the marketing front, things are looking good. We had a conference our team attended with Morrissey, which has they have shared that maybe in the times to come, the EV penetration, which was envisaged at 30% or 25%, will be about 15%. So that looks good for IC engine. That means the demand will remain the same. So that is a, I mean, say little good news for all of us. Overall, there is not a major impact of the budget on our business. However, it looks that one of the raw material item on which the import duty has been slashed will give a little bit of benefit, and the benefit tax benefits for society middle class segment may spur the consumption and increase the sales of automobiles or motor or bikes. On the operational front, as first of all, I feel sorry that Mr. Jain could not attend this meeting because he is traveling to Bangkok. He has been saying that we will be increasing our billet capacity. So in quarter four and in quarter one, we tested our capability to achieve the target of 260,000 metric tons per month. That has been tested, and we have been able to achieve these targets. We are, as you all are aware, we are undergoing some revamping and expansion programs in our company. So those are like capacity expansion by putting up cox block and new heating furnace is going on as per plan. And things at this moment look quite under control. To undertake this, we have planned two major shutdowns for 7 days in the month of July, and later for 2 weeks to 2.5 weeks in the last quarter or first quarter of in the last quarter or third quarter of this year. So, in order to cater to our customers during this shutdown, we have built up the adequate inventory, which will not, which will help us in meeting the requirements of our company. At this moment, our WIP and the closing stocks might look a little higher, but these will be taken care of in the due course of time. Raw material prices in quarter one, raw material prices was up by 8 to 10%. Its impact on profitability was neutralized by the compensate increase in inventory valuations. However, in July 24, again the prices have come down and came closer to what these were in the beginning of quarter one. So the prices remain at this level. The inventory valuation loss is a possibility in quarter two. Price decrease from OEMs in this quarter, still discussions are going on by our marketing team with the OEM teams, and still there is no final decision on this. Our green steel initiatives, which we have declared and discussed with you a number of times, are in line with our plans. So now I will request Mr. Singla to share few exact numbers with you if he has wants to.
Thank you, sir. I think Rewari sir has comprehensively covered everything. The only thing is that in the financial you will see, as Rewari sir has said, that the inventory levels are going up. Inventory has really increased in this quarter by 62 crores of rupees. But yes, after the shutdowns, which is a 7-day shutdown in the month of July, and another shutdown for 3 weeks, which we are planning maybe in quarter three or in quarter four, this increased finished good inventory will be eaten up. And by the end of the financial year, we will be close to our normal levels. And as of now, our debt equity ratios are well within the range. It is close to 0.12. And going forward also with the expansions, we are expecting to be in the same range because of savings or reduction in the working capital. So that all on financials. Now I request the question answer.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handset while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question is from the line of Anil Kumar, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon, sir. Thanks for a great number. Sir, I just want to know, greenfield project, you have mentioned something like that. But any detail can you share with that? And what is the realization level in this quarter?
Realization level for the current quarter is 82,000 rupees per ton.
Coming quarter, I'm asking.
And, yeah, for this quarter.
Yes.
Yes. So on green steel, as it has been discussed in the previous con calls, so we are continuously working on decreasing our CO2 emissions. And in that direction, we have already signed our purchase agreement for setting up a 55 megawatt power plant. Hopefully, it will be in place by March 5. So currently, as of today, we are having 0.73 CO2 emissions per ton of steel. Against this, after setting up of this solar plant, our CO2 emissions will come down below
0.45. All right, sir. Okay, that was your talking about green energy. Actually, I was thinking of green heat project. As Mr. Patil was telling that we are
greenfield plant.
No, greenfield plant is still under discussion. No final decision has been taken.
That is right. Okay.
Yeah.
That is what we have not done. Right. Thank you, sir.
Yeah.
Thank you. A reminder to all participants that you may press star and one to ask a question. The next question is from the line of Ritvik Sheth from OneUp Financial. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Hi. Good afternoon, sir. Sir, just one question. So can you quantify what is the benefit of using pipe gas versus the earlier fuel? And what would be it going forward?
Yes, it is quantifiable, because earlier we were buying gas from ThinkGas and now we are buying from the GAIL. There is a substantial difference between the price of that. Missing, how much is this in terms of?
It is currently lower by about 40-45%.
40-45%.
Yeah, in terms of pricing.
Okay, in terms of pricing. So where does this sit? Because if we look at our power and fuel cost, it is flat quarter on quarter. Where do we expect this number to flow in?
Power and fuel, if you will be comparing from quarter one of the corresponding year,
okay,
to this year, it is slightly lower also, and primarily it is because of the fuel cost which has come down in spite of that increase in tariff in power from 15th of June in the current quarter.
Okay.
And also the highest ever billet production which we have achieved in this quarter, whereas in corresponding quarter of last year the billet production was lesser this quarter.
Sure, got it. So this power and fuel cost of 44 crores, which is there in the quarter, that is a sustainable run rate.
Yes, at this level of production, this is sustainable. But the only difference will be the increase in tariff by 3% of power, which is effective from 15th of June to 4.
Okay. And it will keep on happening every year, because this is an kind of advice from the power suppliers that we will keep, we will increasing the price by 3% every year. Power cost.
Got it. Got it. Okay. And sir, in the opening remarks, you mentioned about the pricing discussion is currently going on with the OEM. So, you know, what kind of decrease are we looking at whenever it happens? Like, you know, can you throw some light on that, please?
Yeah, sure. It is a very difficult question to answer because as a if you look at the cost of one quarter, the costs were up, but if we start looking at the current quarter cost, then it is down by 8 to 10%. So OEM being the being on the other side, they will always choose to benchmark with whatever the lower costs are available in the market. So to give you or share a expectation and number will not be appropriate for us to say, but we are trying. We are trying together with all the OEMs to reach on an amicable, mutually acceptable level.
Okay. Okay, sir. Got it. Thank you, sir, and all the best.
Thank you.
Thank you. Participants who wish to ask a question may press star and one at this time. The next question is from the line of Harshal Patil, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Thanks for the opportunity. I just have a few questions. The first question is, can you share the update on the IC steel related work going on?
Okay. IC steel?
Yes.
Okay. So I think the activities with the IC Steel are going on well. So there are two, three parts of their cooperation with us. What is on the, one is on the technical front. They are, as everyone is aware, that three of their representatives are stationed in our, at our works. So that is going on, and accordingly our teams are working with them very closely and taking their guidance on existing activities and future activities. So this is going on very well, and I think if I have to say in one sentence, the relations and the activities are very positive and are happening in a very progressive environment.
Okay. Please provide some colors on ESG initiatives and towards the green steel.
Sorry, say it again.
Can you please provide some color on our ESG initiatives and towards the green steel?
ESG initiative.
Okay. ESG initiative, as we, as our vice chairman has also explained number of times, that we have kept our initial benchmarking with the existing steel making mills, where we stand out, because at this moment our carbon footprint comes in the vicinity of 0.70 tons of carbon emission per ton of steel manufactured. Now, most of these carbon footprints are because of the power we use, which is coal-based power. So one of the, you can say, one of the idea which was a good idea was to move to the solar. So we have already, as said earlier, initiated and cooperated with the third party to provide us 55 megawatt of green power or solar power to us. So that work is already in progress, and I think by the end of February, March 25, we shall be able to get the benefit of that. So this is the major thing which we are currently undertaking. Besides this, we are also evaluating and seeking some external help to see that what else can be done as a manufacturer to, you know, to further reduce it.
Okay. The other question is, so how does the export market look like? Have we got inroads in Southern Asia market through the Aichi?
Yes, you know, first of all, I must re-clarify that in automobile industry, the approval process is quite long. It takes more than a couple of years to get into the new product and to the new customer. Still, we are undertaking this for last 2 years, so new approvals will start happening. As far as export is concerned, the one destination we have earlier chosen and still is on our in our mind is the Thailand market. Thailand market at this moment is subdued because there is a low demand in that area. We hope that this demand will also pick up. However, our volumes with the which go to Thailand, Indonesia, and Philippines for Aichi forging is continuing at the same pace. While we were looking at this area as a potential growth area, our senior team and along with the Aichi team has also visited Europe and met many major European OEs, where we find that there can be a big potential for us because the entire Europe is looking for carbon footprints, green.
Hello? You're not audible.
Hello, just a second, sir, okay?
Hello? Hello?
Yes, sir, you are audible.
Yeah. So that's all about the export market. If you want to know the numbers, our exports are in the vicinity of around 10% of the total sales.
Including
including the indirect export of IG.
Yes.
Can you shed some light on the overall industry growth as per, like, what you see the industry growth in FY25, as well as revenue growth of our company and EBITDA margin for the FY25 whole year? What you see in the future coming?
We see the industry growth with a lot of optimism because all of you are aware that Maruti, which is the largest manufacturer of automobile, has already announced the new expansion. So Maruti will be growing very big, and maybe they will be doubling if I go by their this thing in 2000 by 2030 or so. So they will double their capacity. So similarly, the Hyundai, etc., many new car manufacturers from China are also coming. So overall, the industry situation at this moment is looking quite good. However, in steel, as far as you have said, the prices, we think prices will almost remain in the vicinity of the current prices. However, they are quite, they are influenced by the raw material price. We hope that the availability of raw material can come under some pressure in the times to come. But to mitigate that pressure, the Government of India has already, end of life kind of things are already in place. So we feel that a lot of those kind of scrap will also be available. As far as EBITDA margin is concerned, our Vice Chairman has already informed that EBITDA margin maybe next year onwards, will be in the range of 8,000 to 11,000 rupees per ton.
So,
hope I have been able to answer your long.
The overall outlook for the FY25, what percentage of the growth as per the revenue, what we can expect, and as well as the EBITDA margin as well. Just a overall whole percentage.
You are asking for the growth of growth in volume
as per the EBITDA revenue and the EBITDA growth for a whole year FY25. What we can expect?
As of now, we have targeted a volume of 210,000 tons as against 195,000 tons achieved in the last year. So, EBITDA, exactly, it would be difficult, but every time we are saying that we will try to be in the range of 7 to 10,000 rupees a ton, because it is again a result of various factors depending upon the raw material prices, as everybody sir has explained. It is always moving up and down. Last quarter it has increased by 8 to 10%, and this quarter again it has come down by 8 to 10%. And prices, so OEMs are still under negotiation. So, but in all, we can confirm still that for the full year we will be well within the range of our this stated range of 7 to 10,000.
Okay. Thank you so much. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Radha from B&K Securities. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Thanks for the opportunity. Sir, you mentioned that you wanted to achieve 2.1 lakh tons in volume. This is despite the 1 month total shutdown that you have announced. So, is there any capacities that you are planning for job work, or how is it as compared to last year?
Yes, yeah. We have a two-pronged strategy for this. One is that we have jacked up our production now. So we are preparing for some stock which will be used that time. Second part of the strategy is that we are also getting outsourced. You know, we are getting it rolled from outside. I think we were doing about 2,000, but now we have started getting done in the range of around 4,000 tons per month. So we will try that the stock equivalent to 1 month shutdown should be available with us during the shutdown period, and customer needs are fulfilled. But still, if there is any unplanned requirement or not so regular kind of product, there could be a little bit of loss of sales, but we'll try to make up by the end of the year.
All right, sir. And secondly, out of the 2.1 lakh tons, could we assume that around 25 to 30 K tons would be job work, and that the margins would be slightly lower compared to what it would have been?
Yeah, it will be even more than the this figure, yes.
Okay, sir. Thanks and all the best.
Yeah.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Viraj from Arihant Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi, thank you for the opportunity, sir. My question is more regarding understanding some business aspects. So, from the presentation, I can see that we have a billet capacity of 260,000 tons, rolling bar of roughly 2 lakh tons, and bright bars of 48,000 tons. So, what I've heard over the call, you mentioned guidance for only the billet part. So, are these rolling bars and bright bars your forward integrated products that you use the billets in that, or how is this? If you can just explain that first part.
Yeah, you know, the billet capacity will be, if billet capacity is 260,000 tons, then about 230,000 tons of rolled product can be rolled from this quantity. So out of this, currently we are rolling around 120,000 or so. So part of the billet will be used for outside rolling. And at that time we will also would have completed our COX and RHF new reheating furnace project. If we take, we calculate mathematically the increase in the capacity, that will be about 18,000 tons per annum.
With, so, the COX block.
With COX block, you know. So that will also give us the scope for expanding our production.
Okay, so if I understand this.
Just to add this, I think first we are manufacturing a billet, and that billet is then used in the rolling mill for roll, making a rolled product. And then out of the total rolled product, about 25% goes for the peeling. So our finished product is rolled 75% as it is after the rolling mill, and about 25% after rolling it is peeled in the peeled shop, then it is. So as Rewadi sir has said that from billet to saleable product, it is about 10% wastage. So whatever billet we are producing, so 90% saleable production comes after the wastages.
Okay, so from billet 90% is used, 90% is the output for, from in rolling mills, and 25% is the remainder, you said. Okay. And
yield is 90%. From billet to rolled product, yield is 90%. So you can say if we will be using 100 tons, we will rolled product coming out will be 90 tons. And what Mr. Singla has said, that in this total black bar, some portion of this used for peeling, that is known as bright bar production. Yes.
Okay, understood. Thanks for the clarification, sir. Secondly, so you only guy, your current guidance would stand the same only, right? 210,000 tons in the billets part, and that is how we will calculate for the rolled part, if you want to assume what will happen in rolled volumes.
210,000 ton is our sales target.
Right, understood. Okay. And so billets that you make would be directly from molten steel only, or do you, is there anything else that you source in raw material?
Yeah. No, it is only coming from our operation, steel melting shop. So we have an electric arc furnace, and we use scrap as a raw material, and this billet will come out of that.
Okay, and the end use is 100% in auto industry only, or is there any other industry also that you are supplying to?
Majority is in the automobile industry, more auto than 95%.
Okay, and in this, sir, we only manufacture round billets or any other shape of billets also, because some correct in understanding there?
Our staple product is rolled bars. And these are round rolled bars.
Understood. Okay. And just last question. So in the EBITDA guidance that you gave right now, is it 7 to 10,000 per ton or 8 to 11,000 per ton? Because I heard that figure also earlier.
This year, 7,000 to 10,000. Next year, maybe 8,000 to 11,000.
Okay, perfect. Yeah. Thank you so much for clarification.
Yeah, after this capex in place, our beta range will increase to 8 to 11,000 tons.
After the, okay, understood. Okay, thank you so much for the clarification. All the best.
Thank you, you're welcome.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Hitesh from ULJK Securities. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon, sir. I have few questions. What kind of prices do you expect in coming quarters regarding sales volume? Hello?
Price will be the, end result of the negotiations which are going on with the OEM. But our past experience is that it should be almost, in the current range, a couple of thousand, maybe down or a little bit up. So it will remain on that. and there are many grades which we make. So the price you see is the sum total of our product mix, and sometimes depending on the product mix, it can vary and change also.
Okay. Sir, and one more question. What was the production for bars in this quarter?
In this quarter, it was 40.
In-house and outside, both put together, we have been able to roll more than 55,000 tons, 55 to 57,000 tons. And our sales in this quarter is 50,000 tons, so rest of the quantity is going for building up of inventory.
Okay. Can you please give me for last few quarters number?
Of this rolled production?
So we can connect separately for those because as of now we are not having those readily available.
Okay, sir. Okay. That's it from my side. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Akshat Mehta from Ladder Up Wealth Management. Please go ahead.
Hello, sir. Am I audible?
Hello.
Am I audible,
yes, sir?
So, sir, a couple of one clarification that I had is that in this quarter, the prices have gone up or the prices have come down for the first scrap steel? Because I heard Mr. Rewari say that prices have gone up by 8 to 10%, whereas we've gotten a benefit of lower raw material prices in this quarter. Just clarification on that first.
Yeah, raw material prices had gone up in that quarter, but those raw material prices in the same quarter does not impact the price because price is, quarter to quarter is fixed.
Okay. So next quarter, maybe we'll realize the effects of higher prices there, along with some inventory losses because the price has gone down after July now.
Yes. We are asking for the price increase, but OEMs are again asking for the price increase. So let us see after negotiation what will happen.
Okay. Secondly, sir, any light on how graphite electrode prices are also going up? Because that is the second most large raw material for you.
No, I think they are stable. They are stable. There is no increase.
From
in
last 1 year, almost stable.
Yeah, at least I remember correctly, for last two quarters, the price have been the same.
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you, sir.
Mr. Akshat, does that answer your question?
Yeah, thank you.
Okay. Thank you. The next question is from the line of Puan from Tiger Asset. Please go ahead.
Hello. Thanks for the opportunity. Am I on?
Yes, sir.
I would like to know how do you source your material? Is it imported or domestically sourced? And would like to know your insights on discussion of anti-dumping duty of in steel.
What is your second part of question?
British duty is in talks with Finance Ministry for anti-dumping duty in steel. So any insights on that, and if that is imposed, how does your raw material expense spike up? Insights on that.
As far as we are concerned, 80% of our scrap is recycled. So that means our raw material is recyclable scrap, which out of which large part is from domestic market. And sometimes based on prices, we import shredded, but that is based on availability as well as the price factor. So to answer your question, most of this is sourced domestically, and maybe 5-10% sometimes we import. As far as anti-dumping is concerned, I don't think it has any impact on or any linkage with our kind of
supply. Directly, there is no linkage of any of these anti-dumping duties. Directly, maybe it will be impacting the demand or supply gap, demand or supply of the steel. But as of now, directly, we are not impacted by these anti-dumping duties.
Thank you.
Thank you. Participants who wish to ask a question may press star and one. Ladies and gentlemen, if you wish to ask a question, you may press star and one. The next question is from the line of Angad from Samiksha Capital. Please go ahead.
Thank you for the opportunity. I have a general question on the supply side of the specialty steel industry. As you are aware, one of the large steel players is coming up with a large capacity, you know, green steel plant in Ludhiana, a large capacity. How do you see the raw material sourcing getting impacted?
Ms. Angad, could you please pick up your handset and speak?
Yes, sir. So, am I audible now?
Yes, sir.
Yes, yeah. Now.
Yeah, so thank you. So I'll repeat the question. So I was saying that one of the large steel players is coming up with a, you know, large green steel plant in Ludhiana. How do you see the raw material sourcing getting impacted due to the same? And a follow-up for that, over long term, over the next, let's say, you know, 3, 5, 7 years, how do you see the supply side developing for the green steel in India in terms of capacity buildup? If you could answer those questions, that would be helpful, sir. Thank you.
Thank you for your question. First of all, you said that green steel plant Ludhiana, as far as my information goes, it is Tata Steel, and it is not actually totally the green steel. It is a normal TMT bar manufacturing operations, which is not going to impact the special steel. However, the availability of scrap and raw material, yes, it will be impacted, because it is always a demand and supply, and if consumption is more, then definitely it will impact. Having said so, we also feel that normally the gap between the Indian scrap requirement and domestic supply is around 8-10 million tons per annum, and this much amount of scrap is always imported. In the good times, earlier it used to be 5 million tons, and we learned that last year it was 7 to 8 million tons, and the same speed is going on for last couple of quarters. So that scrap is coming from Europe, US and other areas. However, as I mentioned earlier, the end of life phenomena and this act is already in place, and many you know, operations are being set up who will be crushing this or bundling this scrap of this scrapped vehicle. So this will also give some additional you know, supply in the domestic area. So that will help in mitigating to some extent, or otherwise, if still the gap is there, then the only way is the importing the scrap. Because at the same time, Maruti also putting up a plant in Kargoda in Haryana. So they also will generate a lot of scrap. Scrap is mostly scrap, whatever we use has is of two types. One is domestically household generated scrap, and the other class of scrap is which is the outcome of forging auto component makers. And if Maruti's plant will come, that will also generate some quantity of scrap, which will also help. But yes, your point is right. From the business point of view, it is an important area where I think our company will be strategizing very, I mean, in a near future to see that how do we secure some kind of arrangement by which we get our required scrap consistently.
Okay, sir. And on the second question, how do you see the industry capacity, you know, current capacity, and how do you see that build up over the next 5 years? If you could throw some light on that, that would be helpful, sir.
Yeah, sure. I can only talk generally because we do not have the exact data. But if you look at the scenario, most of the big steel plants are planning expansion. And those expansion are largely based on the, you know, lot of government expenditure on the infrastructure. So that will spur the demand. This is what I can know. We don't have any specific knowledge about what the big plants are coming in the near vicinity.
Sure, sir. Thank you. I'll get back in the queue.
Thank you.
Thank you.
The next question is from the line of Akash Sharma, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Hi, sir. So I have a few questions. Just wanted to ask, like, what are the key trends and demand outlook in the special steel market? And, you know, how is the company positioned to capitalize on these trends? Hello.
Key trends of our special alloy steel is linked with the manufacturing of automobiles, whether it is, you know, two-wheelers, three-wheelers, four-wheelers, commercial vehicle, so passenger vehicles. So we see a lot of, demand going up in this area. This gives us a good feeling that overall it looks that once these numbers are achieved, definitely steel requirement will also go up, specifically in our automobile kind of area.
So, sir, we are only planning to cater the automobile sector, right?
Yeah. Our focus is this automobile. Unless we, when we go for a large expansion plan, then accordingly, it will be reviewed that whether current product mix or current customer mix will fulfill the gap. We need to look at some other areas.
Okay. And sir, our distribution model, do we, you know, directly supply it to the OEMs, or do we have a distribution model between, like, something like that?
So we normally, every OEM has arrangements with the tier 1 and tier 2 manufacturers, forging units, auto part makers. So most of the time it is finalized at the OEM level, but our steel will be going to tier 1 forging units.
Okay, and sir,
we are
supplying our steel
to
the tier 1.
Okay. Okay, and sir, you know, as most of the steel is used in automobile sector, and as EV is coming in, so the engine part, right, where the steel is used, is being replaced. So, do you see any concerns over there?
So we earlier had some concerns as EV penetration was happening, but recently Maruti has stated that EV penetration, which in the long term was messaged at 25%, now they have scaled it down to the 15%, because mostly the most preference is going to hybrid engines rather than only electrical engines. So that shows that IC engine will still be there, and it will not affect. Even if 15% goes to you know, the electric vehicle, still the IC segment will also grow at this kind of percentage. So it does, it, to us, it looks that there may not be a major impact on us.
Okay. And sir, you know, do we have any geographical concentration risk, like most of our products are, you know, catered to only east, west, south or north side?
Geographical concentration.
No, geographical concentration, I think we have major zones. North zone, which includes our you know, Punjab, Haryana, as well as the NCR area and few other areas. And that too is our Maharashtra side.
And that too is our NCR.
And that one is our Punjab area. So total, I think 65 to 70% of the sales will be in both these areas.
Yes. Even more than closer to 75.
Okay, sir. Thank you. That's all.
Answer your question. The concentration is north as well as west. You know.
Okay.
We do have our presence in south also, but it is, it's not a big number. Maybe 15% in 10-15%.
Okay. Thank you, sir. That's all from my side.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Supan Parekh from an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Hello. Good afternoon, sir. So I have just a couple of questions. So I wanted to ask, how are we different from our competitors if you look at the long run? So like, how are we different from them?
How are we different from our competitors? I think we belong to a you know, well-established group, which is Vardhman Group, number one. Number two, we have association with Aichi. They are our stakeholders now in our company, plus they are providing us technical know-how. And we have a very forward-looking vice chairman, Mr. Sachit Jain, who has you know, intellectual ability to connect with various stakeholders at appropriate time. So, and we have a good quality with us. Our quality is good, and our relationship with our customers are based on our good product as well as good customer service. I think we are associated with all major OEMs in the country. So, I will say that firmly that we have a competitive advantage on this front. You know.
Okay. Sir, are there any
We are into
okay. The, yeah, go on, sir.
Just to add one more, we are into the electric arc manufacturing facility as against our competitors who are mostly into the blast furnace. So going forward, because of the lower carbon emissions, we are having an edge over our competitors, that currently we are almost 1/4 in terms of CO2 emissions as against our competitors.
Okay. So can you name any major OEMs that we are serving?
Our major competition is the Sunflag and...
No, sorry. I think you name any OEM, we shall be working with them. Maruti is one where we are also we associated and we are part of their growth plan. We are, I would say we are there with most of the in the HMSL, Honda Motors also.
Hero Motors.
Even Honda also, you know, some way or the other. So.
Okay, sir. And so last I would like to ask, are we doing any major R&D investments? Are we expanding our R&D or what? Anything on that side?
Yes, we are taking many steps. First is the testing capabilities of VSSL. So we are adding a lot of sophisticated equipments in our lab. We have already constructed a new block which will house our metallurgists as well as the new equipments. The new equipments like a very sophisticated microscope to understand the quality of the steel we are adding. And similarly, we are also planning to invest in non-destructive testing lines which will assure our quality, which is an objective way to test the quality of the steel. So, number one, number two, number three, as I said, we are closely associated with IT. So, wherever required, we are taking help from them as far as the testing facility is concerned. The new development is always there because each of the OEM and has and each of the product has a different requirement. So I think most of the time we are busy in developing new products or new parts with the new customers. Of course, as I said earlier, it takes 2 to 3 years to get approval. Sometimes there is a resubmission, sometimes there is a multi-level testing, long-term testing. So, a lot of effort is done on this front. Be assured.
Okay. The last question I wanted to ask is, what is the cost of green steel manufacturing unit and where are we sourcing it from?
We have not said that we are having a green steel. We will convert our existing, you know, steel making to try to produce green steel by using solar power and our own as well as from the grid if we can buy. Yes.
Okay. Okay. And is there any margin improvement expected from green steel?
As of now, no, but going forward, as because of the sensitivity in the OEMs, so going forward, we are expecting that we will getting some advantage over.
We are hopeful, but as you know that this is, this will be a little costly affair, so we hope that the, you know, I think better margin. If not better margin, at least better volumes are assured and you can become a preferred supplier if you are having a green steel. That is for sure. So that benefit will accrue to VSSL and then VSSL will develop relationship which will be, you know, which will help us to be margin better also.
Okay, okay. Thank you so much, sir. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Radha from BNK Securities. Please go ahead.
Sir, I wanted to ask what is the realization difference between us versus producers who are using blast furnace route?
Realization level as far as OEMs is concerned will not be much of a difference because any increase or decrease in prices which is given by the OEM, it is for the industry as a whole.
The cost difference is there. Blast furnace will have a lesser cost than us.
Yes, sir. What is that percentage?
It is always 6,000 to 8,000 rupees a ton, lower cost in blast furnace. But on the capital employed side, it is much, much capital intensive than electric.
So okay, so cost-wise, sorry, sir?
On ROC front, we are comparable or even better.
Okay, so if I understand correctly, cost-wise, the cost of production via electric arc is 6 to 8 rupees per kg higher as compared to the other route. Whereas the realizations are similar for the industry and but the capital employed for which one would be lower, sir?
Capital employed in case of electric arc furnace.
Arc furnace will be lower. Blast furnace is
the ROC is similar.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay, sir. Okay, understood. And sir, secondly, I missed one point in the opening remarks. You mentioned if I remember correctly, that some of the import items on which tax rate has been slashed. Could you highlight what was spoken with this context?
This is I will highlight. This is not a very major thing. On a ferro nickel or some of the minor additions which we make in our steel making, on that some relief on custom duty has been given. It is a very minor this thing. It is not going, it's not a game changing kind of a thing. So, but we are hopeful that might be a little bit of price of the nickel.
Nickel price
nickel prices will come down, but that's not too relevant. Too significant, I will say.
Sorry. Yes, too significant.
Okay, sir. Just one last question. You mentioned that from this quarter onwards, we see the impact of higher power tariff. So that was 3% you mentioned, sir?
Yes. Yes.
3% increase in tariff every year?
Yes.
Yes. 3% means if it is 7 rupees per unit, then 21 paisa per unit will go up.
Okay, so now the power cost is 8.8 rupees per ton. Okay, you're saying in unit terms. Okay, sir.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Okay, sir. Thank you. All the best.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, that was the last question for today's conference call. I would now like to hand the conference over to the management for their closing comments.
I think once again, I thank to all of you who have participated in this con call, and I I hope that we have been able to answer your queries and your question. However, I will sum up that VSSL is doing well. Everything appears to be under control on the cost front as well as on the market front. Things look good. But as I mentioned, that most of the things will depend on the raw material prices, price finalization with the OEM. But we are optimistic that everything will be in the good shape. As we said, that our Satyajan's endeavor is to move fast on the ESG front. So carbon footprint I have already discussed. We are also, he is spearheading another initiative, which is the circular economy with the major OEMs. Circular economy means that we will be getting scrap from them, which will be coming to us, and we'll be using that scrap to make the steel for them, and steel so made will go back to them. So this way we shall be part of the circular economy efforts of one of the big OEMs. We are on the track basis, we are trying to work on that. So all we also, he is still very keenly following up his initiative of making Japanese forest by the name of Miyazaki. He has a big target, but in the last year he has already, I think that our CSR team under his guidance have been able to develop about 15 acres of forest. So I think so far so good, all is well at this side. Thank you.
On behalf of Choice Equity Broking, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines. Thank you.